Well, here's what I want you to hear tonight. We're in Matthew chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 19, read just a couple of verses. But this passage is about a God who grows up in obscurity. And what he wants you to know tonight is that he wants to, in Jesus, surprise you with hope. He wants to surprise you with hope. So many of us, our hopes are shaped by our expectations, and if our expectations come to pass in the way that we want them to come to pass, then we're happy, right, for the moment. And so we see this in all kinds of ways in our lives, like superficially for me. Every time I play golf, I have unrealistic expectations of what I'm going to shoot on the golf course, and I never meet them, and I'm always disappointed. I haven't played golf for 6 months because it's such a disappointing endeavor for me. But in deeper ways, maybe for you, you thought you'd be closer to your children. And as they've grown up, you feel like they've kind of wandered away from you relationally. And you're wondering this Christmas, like, how's that going to come back together, those relationships that I long for, or with your parents? Maybe you got married to somebody and you thought you got into this relationship and you could change him or her. Maybe you're looking for that significant person in your life, and you think if you meet them or find them, then everything will be what you want it to be. And maybe you look at the world around you this last year and these last several years, and you're just like, what is happening? And what's beautiful, we've been in this series called Messy Christmas, and we've been celebrating a God who comes into the middle of our mess. And tonight I want to talk about how he comes right into the middle of your mess and he offers you deep hope that can only come through Christ. I was out this morning, another sign that maybe we have unrealistic expectations. I don't know why yesterday when we saw the weather report that we assumed it would be okay, and we're like, well, you know what? I know I'm going to need to shop for last-minute things for Christmas and get all my food for Christmas dinner, but I'm sure this winter storm that they forecasted, they never really know. This is like the hardest place to predict weather in the entire country. And so we're like, well, it's probably going to be fine. And all of us had this expectation that the weather wasn't going to be crazy like it's been. And then all of us were wrong. And so then all of us, I'm pretty sure you were there, were at the Hagen in Woodinville today buying all of your food for the next couple of days. Anybody else there with me? I almost ran over like four people. I got the last cart, and it was. I took my life into my own hands, and I put a lot of other people in danger as well. But when I was out today, I had this sense that we're kind of moving through life right now, and for us, as we gather together tonight, we just need this moment, and we need to be surprised by the simplicity of this message. I can dress it up, and I can tell stories, and I can entertain, but the story stands on its own. So let's listen to the text, and here's what we're going to see in Matthew chapter 2. All of the answers to the deepest expectations of Matthew's audience were found in the place that they would have least expected. And that led so many of them to miss what God was up to in the person of Jesus. And if that's true for Matthew's first readers, it's pretty easy for us to do the same thing. Hear God's word from Matthew chapter 2. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. And he said, rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and he took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets, let me say this again, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. And here's where Matthew kind of lands the plane with his account of the birth of Jesus. It might be fulfilled that he would be called a Nazarene. Now, what is that all about? What's going on here? Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, they leave Egypt. Their last few years have been full of movement. They go to Bethlehem. Jesus is born. They flee Bethlehem. They flee Herod. They go to Egypt. Then Joseph has another dream, and God says, go home, because those who are seeking to take your child's life are no longer. They're not going to do it anymore. So Joseph, Mary, and Jesus now go back to Israel. And as they go back, they quickly realize that they can't even go to where they want to settle in Bethlehem because Herod's crazy son is there in Judea, and he's now reigning, and he was maybe more impulsive and maniacal and tyrannical than his father. So they head north to Galilee, and they lay down roots in Nazareth. And Matthew provides that interesting commentary on what all of this meant. They moved there in order to fulfill the words of the prophets. Hundreds of years before, Matthew's saying, there were those who foretold that this Messiah would be called a Nazarene. And he says prophets. He doesn't quote one verse of scripture. He says prophets. In other words, he's saying, this is all over the Old Testament. There's one problem. If you know the Old Testament, and Matthew's readers were Jewish, that was his intended audience, they knew the Old Testament. The prophets don't anywhere mention Nazareth. I mean, the town wasn't even founded until after the Old Testament was written. So on the face of it, Matthew, who is writing to this audience, seems like he doesn't even know what he's doing or saying. And even opponents of Christianity will look at this passage and say, see, the Bible is inconsistent. It's wildly inconsistent. It doesn't even match up. The writers didn't even know what they were talking about. But do you really think that if Matthew was writing this gospel to a Jewish audience, he would have made this up and thought, you know what? Me, good old gullible Matthew, I can fool everybody. He didn't think that. He had a purpose in using this language to talk about Jesus fulfilling the prophets and really to show us how Jesus is a surprise of hope. Nazareth would seemingly be the last place the Messiah would show up, and that's what most people would think. If you were from there, my guess is your life wouldn't be full of a whole lot of hope for the future, because when people talked about Nazareth, they would say things like this: can anything good come out of that place? I mean, it's Nazareth. Do you know what it's like there? I'm not naive. I grew up in the Detroit area. I talk about this a lot. And last weekend I was saying, and somebody came up to me from Michigan and questioned what if I knew, if it was in my right mind afterwards. I said, Michigan is the promised land. And I know what some of you thought when I said that. You thought, Ryan, you know what you're talking about. Can anything good come out of Michigan? And I'm, yes, but that's what it's like. Now, you take Nazareth and you multiply that by a lot, and that's what you've got. It probably felt there like Seattle does from mid-October till the 4th of July here. The sun doesn't shine. The rain literally follows you around everywhere you go. But Matthew seems to see something that everyone saw as a negative, as a positive. That he would be called a Nazarene. What's that all about? There's a couple things going on, and I'll talk about one of them. We're going to have worship tomorrow morning at 10:30. I'll talk about one tomorrow, but I want to tackle one tonight. Nazareth was founded by a group of Jewish people who had come back from exile. And when they came back from exile, they named the town, and they named it with great hope and with great expectation. This word Nazareth it comes from a Hebrew word, Netzer. And Netzer is a Hebrew word that means branch. And it's one of the most important in the centuries before Christ came. As rabbis and Jewish leaders would talk about what it meant that God was going to do something to bring us hope, to make all things new, to deliver Israel from their enemies, to bring redemption and healing and freedom. This word, Netzer, was a central image in the way that they thought about God's Messiah coming. So when Matthew says, it fulfilled what was said by the prophets, that he shall be called a Nazarene, he was probably thinking about this text in particular from Isaiah 11 as the very center point and focal point of what he was saying. Isaiah 11:1, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Jesse was David's father. And a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight, this is the Messiah, shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Expectation, hope, things that we're looking for. John Mayer wrote this song. He said, "Me and all my friends, we're all misunderstood. They say we stand for nothing, and there's no way we ever could. Now we see everything that's going wrong with the world and those who lead it, and we feel like we don't have the means to rise above and beat it. So we keep on waiting. We're waiting for the world to change. We keep on waiting, waiting for the world to change." Do you not see how when the hymn that we sing often at Christmas time, that the hopes and the fears of all the years are met, and what happens in Bethlehem when Christ is born in that night? Even the cries of our artists and poets and musicians, these things that we long for, this hope that we want to have. And so Isaiah tells us of this naitzer, this branch. And here's what his reign will produce. It will produce a whole new kind of creation when things will be set right. He has images of how the curse of sin is reversed. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. In the centuries leading up to Jesus' birth, everyone talked about this text, like I said. And then Jesus came, and when he came, he met all of their deepest expectations and longings, but it was in a way that they didn't expect. And they missed him. So many people, if you read the New Testament, missed Jesus. They missed the hope that would surprise them because of who he is. And here's what I want for you. This Christmas, you're gonna be busy. I've talked to a lot of people about the things that they're doing, and they're gonna go from one gathering to another gathering, and they're gonna go from here, and they're gonna make food, and they're gonna eat lots of food, and they're gonna open presents, and you know, we get really busy. And sometimes we forget to just orient these days around this beautiful message of the gospel, of Christ come incarnate. God became a man and humbled himself to save us. God surprised everyone by growing up in the obscurity of small town Nazareth. And in doing so, he was meeting their expectation for a deliverer, a redeemer, and savior from the mess that they were in. But this is what's so cool. Christmas is on God's terms. It's not on theirs, and it's not on ours. And this is the way of the gospel versus religion. Some of us are religious. We come to church sometimes and we think by coming to church we'll make God happy, and we use religion as a way to control God and a way to control our world. We don't want God to be God. We kind of want God to be a puppet for us. But the gospel is about a God who shows up. And tonight, maybe for the first time you're hearing this, he shows up in the unexpected. He shows up in the forgotten places, and he wants to do that in your life, and he wants to surprise you. Surprise you with hope. Extend grace to you, that which you don't deserve, his love and care and compassion. And then surpass all of your wildest expectations about what it could look like to have a different perspective on life. So I'll just leave you with this question. Are you open to being surprised by hope this Christmas? Let's pray. So God, we want that. We want to be surprised by the hope that is only available in Jesus. And we conflate hope with a lot of other scenarios and outcomes in our lives. And I do that, Lord. And I just realize that I'm missing something when I do that. Those things are shadows of something far greater. They're little bites of a meal that I can experience and take in my life as I follow you. So surprise us, God, As we worship you now, would you just show up by the power of your Holy Spirit in each heart and each life and reveal to us the beauty of Jesus? It's in his name we pray. Amen.